welcome to Ask the Doulas podcast. I am Alyssa, and today I'm excited to be talking to Megan Kretz. You are one of my past sleep clients. And then again, recently.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about sleep today. Okay, so remind me of how this journey began and what was happening before you called me.
Yeah, so we reached out to you about when my daughter was 9 months old with just all sorts of life problems as a result of my daughter's sleep habits and our sleep habits as well. So a lot of it was definitely a struggle because we almost created the environment that the problem that we found ourselves in.
Unknowingly.
Yes.
You don't
unknowingly.
Realize it when you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're in survival mode.
So my daughter had, before the age of 8 months, had 5 ear infections. Mm-hmm. And so we were in and out of the doctor's offices, on and off antibiotics, and because of that, she was in a lot of pain. She was seeking comfort because we could never get her comfortable. Mm-hmm. So in doing so, we just ended up creating all these really bad sleep habits. So falling asleep with us, on us, whatever we could do to allow mom and dad and baby to get some sort of rest. Mm-hmm. Up probably 11 times at night breastfeeding, and then wouldn't take naps during the day, was up only like all day except for 2 45-minute naps at the age of, you know, 6-7 months old. And mm-hmm. where our thoughts were going at that point is that she wasn't developing properly without proper sleep. We couldn't go on date nights. Nobody else can put my daughter down to sleep except me, not even dad. We couldn't go 2 hours for a movie on the couch without my daughter waking up. And it was getting to a point where, like, looking into the future, I don't know how we would have gone much longer with the way that things were. And I had heard about you guys before, and finally I ended up going on the website and I saw that you guys offer the sleep consultations, and was hesitant at first, but oh my gosh.
Didn't she take to it like the first
night? Oh yeah. The first night when we went through all of that, and I felt like super needy with you. I was like,
no, you were not at all.
You know, all the time. But after the first night, we had to go, you know, in and out a lot. But by the second night, she was almost there on the first night. On the second night, she was like, bam, done. She's like, I got this, mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your sleep champ from now on.
And kids always surprise parents. Yeah. They want to sleep so bad. Mm-hmm. And once we just get them on the schedule, it just happens so much more quickly and easily than a lot of parents expect.
We had a, you know, and a lot of other working parents might find themselves in the same or scared on what they're going to end up doing because I learned so much of her night sleep is dependent on her daytime sleep and her nap schedule. So she went to a daycare facility and they had also used the same crutches we had to get her to sleep and was just nervous about that whole transition and really needing her to take proper naps in order to accomplish what we needed to at night. And in the end, we sorted out some schedules. We had some people that came and helped us and pulled her out of daycare for a week because...
Yeah, I remember that. You had somebody stay at the house because that first week is pretty critical. And when you have two full-time, you know, working full-time parents, you can't just take a week off.
No, you can't.
Just to have your baby sleep. Like, that's not feasible. But yeah, you had a babysitter that you trusted come, right?
Yeah. And I don't remember how many days it was, but there's a certain amount of...
Oh, you had a doula come too for a couple times, didn't you?
No.
Or did you? No.
No. Well, you.
Well, must have been another class. Sometimes they'll hire like a doula to come stay either daytime or overnight.
I remember you said there were so many days that it takes of consistent behavior development to actually...
Until it becomes like...
A habit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until it becomes normal for them. So... We just had to get through that.
Yep.
And we did.
Yeah. Well, and especially because she was going to daycare. Uh-huh. Daycare can totally muck things up, especially if, you know, if it's a large, not an in-home daycare, but a large one where they have 20 kids or maybe 15 of them are in the nursery. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, this is nap time. And if they're not sleeping, we get them up because we don't want them waking the other babies up.
Well, that's what the part of the problem was, is that she was in a nursery and there's 12 other babies in that room and they all share a crib room together. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get her to sleep. And then she was waking up other babies and it was just like so downhill from there.
So they just say, all right, nap's done.
Yep.
But after that 5 days of consistent pattern, then she's going to go to daycare. Mm-hmm. Her body's already on the schedule. It already has a rhythm set. And it's much easier to go back into that daycare environment and say, oh yeah, this, you could tell them now she sleeps from this time to this time.
And that's,
and if she
exactly
wakes up early, like, here's what you have to do.
And in daycare, you know, they made their own adjustments for what worked for them too. So I gave them our schedule, but then they actually removed her from a crib and put her on a toddler sleep mat. They're like raised little beds.
Yeah.
And at the age of, I had to get a doctor's note, but at the age of 10 months, 9 months, she was actually the only child in the room for months that slept on a cot.
Oh, and so that was, she was in her own room.
She wasn't. She was just blocked off from the other kids. So yeah, she was in a the room by herself.
Okay.
But she was kind of blocked off with some shelving units so the other kids didn't get all up in her business when she was sleeping. But she was on a cot, and that worked best for her because they found that she was anxious in the room with all the other kids in the crib because all of her past memories were coming up. So they changing her sleep environment ended up being so that they could also go work according to the sleep plan as well. So it ended up working well that way, and she ended up moving up into the next toddler room already on the cot, where most babies have to go through this learning period for that.
So I remember in the beginning you kind of struggled. You had this, it was like this tug of war within yourself of, gosh, she's sleeping amazing now, but now I miss these cuddles that I get at night.
I can't remember.
And so
remember
I was
that.
Like, we have to find a balance here because I don't want, and it's hard to go from, you're used to her there all the time, but that's part of the problem is that she's there all the time and nobody can sleep.
And at night when, you know, I'm giving her cuddles, but she's giving me cuddles.
Yeah. It's hard to just let that go.
And then don't forget about the readjustment to milk supply.
Yes.
That was a big thing as well.
Yes, breastfeeding changes. Your body eventually fixes itself.
But it takes a little while, some uncomfortable days.
Yeah, you'll wake up like leaking everywhere. I've told moms to sleep on towels for a couple of
days. Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, but I think we talked about, you know, so early in the morning when she wakes up, get some cuddles in, and then spend the weekends, like Saturday and Sunday mornings, just make that cuddle time in bed to really get all that, like you want that oxytocin still, you know, all these great hormones that you guys are sharing when you get these cuddles.
It's funny that you say that because it's almost a tradition now that she's older. So when she's up, you know, I tell her to please put, she calls her pacifier, her oh no, because when she can't find it and she's upset, it's an oh no situation. So she has to leave her oh no in her crib. And then we go and get a bottle of milk, and I ask her if she wants to snuggle, or sometimes I get her out of the crib and she's like, snuggle, because that's like our time together. And so we do that, you know, when we're reading books before bedtime now, because we no longer breastfeed or give her a bottle before bed. And so we just read books and snuggle for 5-10 minutes, and then in the crib she goes. And then in the morning, that's a good cuddle time. And I wake up a little bit early and get ready before she's up so that I'm not rushed for time to get ready, and that I can devote, either my husband and I will devote that time to her.
That's really smart. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody earlier about the fact that sometimes kids are just waking up because they want to see you. So especially as a parent who works full time, you already have this guilt of, I haven't seen my child all day. And now they're sleeping all night by themselves, which is great. But when do I get to see them? When do I get to cuddle them? So when you do like nighttime routine and in the morning, put that phone away. Don't make the TV part of this process. Put that kid on your lap, cuddle, kiss, you know, read the book, whatever. Just get all the snuggles in you can. And then they feel, you know, 30 minutes of your undivided attention, they don't know if it's any different than 8 hours.
No.
To them, it's just mom or dad are here and loving on me. And that makes all the difference in the world.
I agree. And it was hard being a working mom when we were going through all of this, because the time with her became less because of the night wakings weren't there. But the quality increased. Her behavior got a lot better. And I am a better mom by being a working mom, because I can devote my attention better if I have some things that I do on my own, if I have, you know, a work life as well. So I didn't want to give that up, but readjusting and figuring out, you know, the quality time was a lot better when she was rested and herself.
That's,
I can't tell
key.
You what the,
yeah.
And it really, really shines this whole idea even more when we recently went on vacation. And it was a struggle because we were in a new environment. She was in her own bed, but we had to share a room with her. And although all that went fine, her behavior was like she was truly in the terrible twos. Like it wasn't, you know, she's only 21 months old now, but she just everything changed because her whole, you know, we tried to stick to the schedule, but you're on vacation, so there's only so much that you can do, you know? So immediately on the day that we returned from this week-long vacation and she's sleeping in her own environment and we're right back to the same routine, it was immediate behavior change. And it just solidifies even more how important a sleep plan is and how important it is to make sure that they get the sleep that they need.
They thrive on it. Yeah. And we think that we're doing them a favor by letting them stay up late to play yeah. with their friends. Their cousins are over.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've struggled. 4th of July is coming up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not even dark for fireworks until 10 o'clock. What am I going to do? We're
yeah.
not doing them or ourselves any favors no. by letting them stay up. Because usually they're a wreck for 2 days after that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just affect. They're not going to sleep in the next day. More than likely, they're going to be up early the yeah. next morning. It affects them. So opposite of the logical thinking. But yeah, that's the key. Like you hit the nail on the head is you mm-hmm. have to readjust and understand that you have less time together, but it's more quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And her entire world has changed. Mm-hmm. She's happier, healthier, developing at a better rate because we all yeah. need sleep for that yeah. to happen. So yeah.
It's funny that you brought up the whole fact that readjusting and going to parties and not keeping them up late and whatnot. It's funny because it's easy for my husband and I to say, sorry, we're leaving at 7:30 or 7 or 6:30, mm-hmm. whatever we have to do to get to our, you know, when we start bedtime routine. The hardest part about all of that is not leaving early. It's convincing your family members and your friends mm-hmm. that this is what you're going to do and that this is important to you and your family. Because it's almost like they're the ones that are pressuring you to alter your child's sleep schedule. And
right.
So that's been that's come up a few times, and just especially around the holidays when your family members do holiday parties or gift openings starting at 6 o'clock and bedtime routines that starts at 6:30, you're like, sorry guys, we can't come.
Right. Unless you want to bring a pack and play and put
which we've done
there,
when she was young enough yeah. we did that and that yeah. was fine, and she does, we do that sometimes with friends where we go over and we put her to sleep in the pack and play. We try mm-hmm. to avoid that as much as possible
yeah.
and now that our friends have kids that are our age or having kids, we schedule things at 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead, so dinner yeah. parties go from 3 to 7. They don't go from 7
makes
to 11.
A lot more sense. I know. Yeah, that is the hardest part because you have to be so consistent.
Yeah.
And when you get those dirty looks or the weird looks from your friends, like, God, why do they always have to leave so early? It makes you kind of feel bad, but you're like, I know this is worth it. I'm doing this because it's worth it.
Yep, it is.
So
yep.
then you called me again recently.
I did.
You had, she was sleeping great, and then you made yeah. a pretty big transition. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So a little bit ago, what ended up happening, so she was always a little bit ahead of the other kids as far as walking and crawling and climbing and running. So she eventually started climbing out of her crib, and we started getting very nervous about possible injuries. And she, you know, quite a few times we had a video in her room, we see her sitting on the edge of the crib, just like teetering there.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, my husband was really pushed for a change. We can't be doing this. So we actually ended up moving her into a big kid bed at the age of 19 months, I think. And I'm trying to take what I learned from when she was 9 months with you and trying to apply it to a child that's now a toddler. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working. And that's when we contacted you, we learned about how kids don't learn about delay of gratification until they're 3 years old. So she doesn't understand what it means. If you stay in bed all night, you know, we get special time together in the morning.
Right.
She wasn't...
Makes no sense. She
no.
doesn't understand that concept
no.
whatsoever.
And she can get in and out of the toddler bed. Yeah, she may not be falling out of it now, but what it ended up... My husband and I were just... Again, we went right back to, we got to do whatever we got to do to get this child to sleep. So she ended up... Her night times got shorter because we ended up staying in bed and laying with her till she fell asleep and reading a book. And our bedtime routine went to 2 hours, 20 minutes to 2 hours. And then she would sleep a full 11 hours at night. And then her nap became elongated to 3 hours. Mm. So it was kind of funny. And just our situation at the time, we were on a wait list for a daycare. So we had to hire a nanny for a couple months. And it was funny. It's like, you know, we're paying her for an 8-hour day when she... found our daughter sleeping for...
For three of it.
Yeah. It's just kind of a funny fact. Right. But so we were right back to, oh my gosh, what do we do? And I was, you know, a year later, I'm finding your email and like, help, what is there something, is there anything that you can help us with? And then when you sent us our new sleep plan and we saw that there are clear ways to help a child stay in the crib and to go right back into a routine for this next stage of a child's life, and that babies aren't the same as toddlers, mm-hmm. and how it was just, it was eye-opening when we saw that second plan yet again, and you had so much good information in there, even outside of...
I always wonder if it's too much.
No.
I get so, like, I geek out on, like, sleep information, so I give my clients so much information,
my husband
but
even,
I think it's imperative.
My husband even brought it up later on about something else in your sleep plan that wasn't related to sleep and was, oh, it was snacking. You had said... And it's so true, like, because we were a lot of times just allowing her to snack a lot, and we didn't have these huge set, like, these meals mm-hmm. necessarily planned out. Yeah, she ate meals with us, but we allowed her to snack more than mom and dad snacked. Not even thinking about how that might be tied into sleep or, you know, protein intake at certain times of the day, Aiden, new sleep patterns. Mm-hmm. No idea. And, you know, my husband, I was giving her a snack and he actually said to me, he's like, don't you remember reading that on Alyssa's sleep plan?
That's great. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Really
so good. It was a lot of good information. And there's just something special about receiving this information from a local, you know, from you, from
a person,
and not a book
automated. Yeah.
And not a book I just pulled off the shelf at the library that might be outdated, or you really cater our sleep plans to your client mm-hmm. and to the child. And having come into our home and shown us, you know, looking for things that might be distractions for quality sleep mm-hmm. and teaching us about how to do a, you know, a proper nighttime routine. And although it was a lot of information at one time, it was well received and we felt very, I don't know if qualified is the right word, but very, like, we got the information we needed to then make good informative
and be
decisions.
Confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got the confidence. That's
even though I'm with you, mm-hmm. you know, you're texting me all the time. I'm responding back. I'm there for guidance. Mm-hmm. I'm not there forever. So
no.
That's why I want you to have enough information that you go, okay, she's 12 months now. Oh yeah. She told me that this would probably happen around 12 months or
yeah.
because I learned this from when she was 9 months, that's what this means at 12 months.
Oh.
And you have to be able to troubleshoot yourself or mm-hmm. you're just going to keep calling me every 3 months at every developmental milestone and say, what do I do? Help.
And it's funny because we went back to your sleep plan multiple times between 9 months and probably 15 months mm-hmm. to just look at what did she say when she reaches this age mm-hmm. group? How much sleep did she need? What mm-hmm. were her naps supposed to look like? Mm-hmm. So we definitely referenced it back. But being in a new bed when all of that came up, it was,
game.
Yeah, it was a completely, and the plans themselves were very different. So I understood how at
yeah,
that
sleep
point,
is very different for a 2-year-old versus a 9-month-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, after day one of the new sleep plan, we got her, you know, back in the crib. It was like she never forgot it. It was like, it, you know, she was in the big girl bed for probably like 4 weeks. And 3-4 weeks.
So you're thinking, oh, great. Even if we try this plan, she's ruined. Like, we're going to have to start all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I thought. But no, I mean, her sleep habits came right back. You know, we were able to get her nap down to a normal, respectable time. And she's back to sleeping 11, 12 hours at night with no interruptions. We can go back to, you know, watching movies. Quality, you know, mommy-daddy time. Mm-hmm. It was just... It was
date
like we
nights,
never skipped a beat.
Babysitters
yeah.
are easy.
Oh, babysitters can put her to sleep. Again, yeah. you know, I'm not asking a babysitter to sleep with her for 2 hours.
You're going to have to lay in this bed.
And then ever so slightly quietly creep out as quiet as possible.
It's like the ninja roll. Like you kind of slowly roll off the bed. And you keep a hand there for pressure. You slowly lift your hand up.
Make sure the dog is quiet when you're moving around so its nails don't click, clap, clip, clap on the hardwood floors to wake her up. You know, it's just like, oh, I better put some WD-40 on that door. Yeah, I mean, those were all things that were happening and going through our head. I'm laughing and I'm making a joke about it, but those were legitimate concerns mm-hmm. of mine when we were had her in the big girl bed and mm-hmm. all of this was going on. It's like, call me crazy, but that's how you feel when, mm-hmm. you know, your child and you aren't getting
well, you
sleep.
Are a bit crazy. I mean, sleep deprivation does not make for a sound mental state.
Yeah, so it was, and right back to it, you know, it's like, I just can't believe how much you guys have been able to help us. And I'm just like, Alyssa, do you want to do, you know, a podcast together? And maybe my experience can help other people. I've referenced quite a few people over your way.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I just, I can't reiterate how much you guys helped us and how worth it it is.
It's definitely a service that I could literally call life-changing.
Yes. I would call it that as well. In fact, I think I've left some reviews stating that. So,
yes. Well, if you had one thing that anyone who's pushed off sleep training would need to hear, what do you think it would be?
It's worth it. It is what's best for baby. It's what's best for you and your family unit.
And what if they're scared? Sleep training just... like causes anxiety. Those two words. Just people think, oh, like this just sounds like it's going to be a miserable experience. My child is going to be left alone. They're going to have anxiety. Like there's all these.
But she wasn't. Bad. She wasn't left alone. Like the plan you gave us, that wasn't the case. And you know, and you told me right from the beginning, before I even paid for anything, we will do a plan according to what is comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And I was totally okay with the plan. And what's the worst that could happen? She wakes up 12 times at night versus 11? Like, no, that's not even going to be a possibility. We were so far down the rabbit hole that there was no getting deeper. We were hitting bedrock. Like, so right. It could only get better at this point. And it did. And it was a complete 180.
Well, I loved working with your family both times. Yeah. Probably won't need me again because she's great.
Yeah.
Don't put her in that toddler bed till she's three.
We will.
You'll know when she's ready.
Yeah, we will. We will definitely wait. So now we got a good, you know, just over a year of before we have to make any new changes and new sleep training. And but now I have the tools too to be able to transfer her to a big girl bed.
Yeah, because I did. Did I give you some what to plan mm-hmm. for? Okay,
you did. Good. Yeah, so
good. I figured I did.
But this isn't the end, Alyssa. I'm sure that we will see each other again or talk to each other again.
Well, yeah. Well, on that note, you might be adopting. Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you again at a later time about what an adoption process looks like. Because mm-hmm. I don't know. And a lot of our listeners and parents probably don't know and maybe are even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But are maybe scared. So we'll talk about that next time.
I'll love to help you and get some insight on there from a mom's
perspective. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, if you have any questions for us, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com. We are online at goldcoastdoulas.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Listen on SoundCloud, or iTunes. Thanks for listening. Remember, these moments are golden.